Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello all, Matt here. Just jumping in quickly to say that, as was mentioned at the back end of the previous pod that we did with Simon Smith, this is purely a finish to our chat, really, where he spoke about some of the goalkeepers that he's worked with over the years, some really good tales about Sir Bobby Robson too. But it won't have the customary intro as we normally do, because of course we've already done that in the last podcast. It will simply go straight into the chat, a continuation of the conversation, as it were. Enjoy. Okay, well, just a few more questions. I think I could sit here and talk for another 4 hours, to be honest. It's been great talking to you. But I just thought we'd touch on a few of the lads that you've worked with over the years. You've mentioned a few already. One was Pavel Cernicek. So I sat down with Tomáš Vašlík the other day, the Czech goalkeeper, and I forgot to ask him about Pavel because I know he has some fantastic stories on him. I remember him telling me that he was quite the character. Even in his later years, he was still out there doing all the fitness drills and was 10 times better than some of the other lads. But yeah, what was your time like?
I was doing the academy at Newcastle at the time, and he fell out with the goalkeeping coach, Terry Geno, because they had Shea, Shaka, Harps would have been there. So for whatever reason, he fell out, and they asked me if I would take him at a non-league ground near the airport on an afternoon for some sessions. So obviously I was at the academy, so it was fine. So I pitched up on the first day, and Small got changed in the referee's changing room, and he stripped off, and I'd never seen anybody with a physique like properly ripped. And I'm like looking and thinking, Jesus, you know, this guy's the machine. And then, and this is going to sound a bit odd, but he had a goalkeeping onesie, you know, like an all-in-one.
Yeah.
Not really used in this country, but abroad quite a lot. And he was sponsored by Roche. So he had a Roche onesie and obviously the gloves and all the rest of it. And it was like, I'm in dream world here, by the way. And then anyway, I'd met him before. He'd come to actually do the academy with the kids just to say hello and all the rest of it. So we get out on the grass and it's like, so I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I have a book. So he produces this, like the classic kind of little diary book. And it, within it, Matt, honestly, he's every page, he's got goalkeeping practices. Now, like I said before, some of them you wouldn't say were goalkeeping practices, were fitness. But it was like, wow. He said, this is from my coach in the Czech Republic who I've worked with and since I was a boy and all. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, like the Bible. It's like the Bible. I said, well, that's great. I said, I've got my own. I was thinking back now, I was like, I've got my own ideas on what you need to do. But obviously I'm more happy than to follow the book. So we set off and yeah, to be fair to him, he showed me his practices. Some of them, unless you were an unbelievable athlete, like he used to kneel down and spring straight onto his feet, or he'd sit down, spring straight onto his feet. He just had that kind of like a bit. So we would do the exercise and I was at that in awe that I forgot to kick it. Like, you know, it's like he would do a diving thing where he'd do like a shadow dive. And then it dawned on me that I was standing in the wrong place because he dived that far, because it really was something quite, and I loved it. And as I say, from a young coach setting out as a learning thing. And as I say, the actual technique of stepping and diving, which is like a given now, step across, forward, narrow the angle, you dive. That was him. And I'm not taking credit for that. That was him. But I've obviously written it down and now everybody does it. I'm not saying, obviously there are other people who've worked in the Czech Republic. So, but that kind of thing, at that time, I'm like, oh, wow, I've never thought of that. We used to do repetitive time where you basically rocked over on the spot for 27. But all he wanted to do was like four. But the speed he worked at the four was, or he'd say to me, Simon, don't tell me how many. Keep going until you think. And then I would do two and he'd say, oh, that's enough. So it was like technically perfect. So why did he need to go on? So he was from not just a goalkeeper, from a kind of well, coaching program. He was like something I'd never thought of and different. And as I say, I took him for, probably about a month. I probably learned more than he did. His flexibility and that kind of thing were unbelievable. But it was like, so I said to, about his upbringing. So he said, I played basketball. He did national service, played basketball at a good level. He played volleyball, I think. And so I said, in football? He says, yeah, so in football. So I said, so if you, obviously you've made it, you've got that. So what happens to the others? He said, if you broke, that was it. I said, what do you mean by broke? And he said, well, if you weren't physically suitable, they told you to try another sport. It was like that ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
So as I say, from a learning point of view, and then obviously he left, he went to Sheffield Wednesday, had a good career. And then he went back home and I got a job at the FA, working for the FA, and we played the Czech Republic at Leighton Orient. I ran out onto the pitch and Olaf got his, Simon! And probably he was working for the Czech Republic. So, and because obviously he had a relationship with Harps and Shea, so they kept in touch and all the rest of it. But obviously then, obviously the sad news when he passed away, which was, I mean, like you said before, for such a fit bloke, I just could not. He was out jogging and he's collapsed and... It's like this, yeah. So, but as I say, from my one, I'll never forget him, but as a learning experience, it was as a young coach, was yeah, probably the best that I had.
Yeah. Yeah, taken too soon. Yeah. Joe Hart, you worked with Joe.
Yes, Joe, England versus Belgium, I think it was the game. The only reason I can remember, we trained at Middlesbrough. Ben Anick was the other goalie. So we had Ben Anick and Joe, and he was technically raw. So Ben was a technician, Joe was a, I'm just going to stop this. We did the work at the first session and I heard him say to Ben, God, he hits a ball hard, doesn't he? And it was like, well, is that not what you're going to face like in the future? And then the game came and Ben played the first half, did okay. And then the second half, Joe played and he made probably, I've seen about saves, like one of these saves that it's like, oh my God, how did he get there? Running across the goal, spreading himself. And it was like, yeah, Ben was very good, but you could tell he just had something different about him. Just make a save that maybe other people couldn't. I mean, obviously, you know, I know he's had some, but has had a great career, really, and still having it, to be fair. So he was, but I mean, I'm going back when I first started, my first two goalies were Matt Murray.
Yeah.
And then I had Lee Camp and a lad from Chelsea who I don't think plays anymore. Through that England thing, I've worked with some excellent goalies, either at youth level, but I'd have to say the majority have gone on to play somewhere in the Football League. I can't really think of many that haven't. I mean, you would expect that. I mean, we're England, but it's still, to me, a testimony to them more than anything else. You know, so I had Ben Amos, Connor Ripley, Jason Steele. And then you get into like Jed Steer, obviously Callum Burton. And then I'm into Angus Gunn, Freddie Woodman, Dean Henderson. And as I say, who have gone on, picked Jordan.
Jordan, Pickford. Yeah.
So Jordan Pickford was the number one. And then I had Ben Garrett.
Oh, yes.
Number two, but he's played like 3,000 games for Crewe Alexander. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they all find their way to somewhere. It's always an interesting, I find it really interesting, Matt, they'll say. Or people... throw their name onto somebody. So I could sit here and tell you that I made Jordan Pickford.
Mm.
Because to be fair, international level, we had that many tournaments for a year. I used to see him nearly as much as Mark Prudhoe, or he was on loan at the time, or there, the goalkeeping coach, wherever he was. So there was a bit to it. But I like it now because I'll say to people or goalkeepers that I see now, so come on, tell me who you've worked with. And like some of them, even for young goalies, they've had like five or six. And I think they're expecting me to say, oh, you know. But I love it because they're getting different things from different people. Yeah, and some they might like, some they might not like. And that might depend on where they are in their career. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, people say, oh, he must be Shea Given. Yeah, Shea, but before me, he had Terry Geno. And then before that, he had Paddy Bonner. Do you know what I mean? He had a great, and then since he's had some real different people working with him as well. And I think that's what's great. I mean, Harps would be a classic. He's had a lot. And if people have been on loan, especially, and that's a different relationship when you get somebody and you know he's not yours, but you've just got to do what you need to do with him. as I say, I don't like it when somebody connects themselves to one goalie in particular. You know what I mean? I just like to think that you've had a hand in their development, and it might be one real specific thing. I had Freddie at Newcastle. I knew his dad, who was a goalkeeping coach before me. You know, he left and I came back, and I'd been working with Fred, and I had a kind of a different, be honest, a different kind of relationship. But you still had to be fair to the others, is what I'm trying to say. And then, that thing now, what I did like about it was, because it's been special to them, is that when they then see me at Newcastle, they always used to come and speak. But sometimes that become a bit awkward, because Jordan Pickford, having paid for Sunderland, is hated. So we played them two seasons ago in, obviously, at Everton. And there was a bit like the one where he's dived on somebody, and was it apparently, was it not? As I'm waiting for Martin to come off the pitch, he's only come across to speak to me. And I'm nearly saying, George, don't speak to me, because I'm going to get booed by the fans. But you can't help it, because you have a relationship. The same happened to Dean Henderson. We played Sheffield United when we were in the Championship. And John Joe broke through from halfway, and it looked offside, but it wasn't, and he scored. And Dean, he didn't move. He stood there, So at half time, I'm on the pitch and waiting for Martin to come off. And he's come out. He said, "Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have just stopped, should I?" He's like, "Well, I'm not your coach."
No. Speak to your goalkeeper, coach.
I was delighted you stopped, but you can't say that, can you? But you know that they have that kind of respect for you. And that's the bit that, I'm not saying I missed that, but that was one of the bits that I liked, because they had that, because obviously playing for England is special for them. So they were special times in their career, and it doesn't matter where they've gone, but they were special. And they remember that, you loved playing two touch, or you loved doing this, or what about when we played good? So, I've been lucky in one way, but to work with who've gone on to be, Premiership goalies.
How close did you get to them as well? Because that's always a balancing act, right? As to whether you become a friend in addition to a goalkeeper coach. Yeah.
So I learned a lesson very early on that I've mentioned already. So Terry Keno was like Shay's father, which was a great relationship, and it worked really well, obviously. But it caused a few issues, because I was working at the academy. I get a phone call from Terry Keno saying that Kevin Keegan wants to drop. Was it Kevin Keegan? Whoever the manager was, wanted to drop Shay. What did I think? And it's like, well, that's the manager's decision. And so after that kind of conversation, I made it quite clear to them when I got the job that I was having no favourites. I said, I'll treat you all the same. I'm not taking you out for dinner, not socialising with you. And I made it quite clear right at the start. And then when I've gone back, I've done the same. I was just saying, we're going to have a professional relationship, because, like I said before, I don't want, he's dropped me, what's happening? I want it to be, come and work with me out here. I'm not going to be your best mate, because I'd seen what happens with that. Lucy might say, well, you should have got closer, and then this might have happened or that. But I wanted it just to be, what I did with them on the grass was what they were buying into, rather than me taking for a curry every week.
Mm.
So that was just me. And I know other people do it differently, whether that's just me because I'm quite boring or whatever, but that's just the way I thought. As I say, having seen it happen the other way, I thought, no, I'm just going to go this way. And that's not to say I don't speak to the men. I know their children, and do you know what I mean? I haven't detached myself totally, but I did keep a professional relationship.
And one of the last ones that you worked with was Martin Dubravka at Newcastle. Just keen to get your thoughts on him and the interesting situation that was this season. In fact, going to Manchester United, seeming like he was going to be a permanent player at Manchester United, but then returning to Newcastle. Did that surprise you that he returned?
Yes. I never spoke to him about it, so I only know what I read. Mm. But I did, when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's him done for the season, that he'd gone. So yes, I was surprised to see him come back. I think the League Cup thing one was another goalkeeping story, if you know what I mean. Yeah. We've lost, but I've got a medal from because I played with it. So again, another, could only happen to football, could only happen to goalkeeping. So I think that the thing with Martin, which is testimony to him, really, I think is what I'm trying to say. So we went through a process with Rafa where we wanted a new goalie, potentially somebody who was more comfortable with their feet than Carl was. Although I'm not quite having that, but that was Rafa's decision because I thought Carl was quite good with his feet. Again, is it he wants somebody better with it or does he want his own goalie? So I went through a summer where every day he was sending me 2-3 goalies to look at on Y Scout. Great to start off with, but like after day 10, so he and I have gone on holiday to Mallorca and he's still sending them. So I've started looking and I'm writing back, not for me. Getting an email straight back, not good enough. I need more. So it's like after the 14th day, it's like, so you need to write back to Rafa and tell him you're on holiday. So get the courage to write, Rafa, I'm on holiday in Mallorca. Yeah, so he says, well, just look at these two. And anyway, Martin Dubravka. So get him on Y Scout. I thought, what I'll do with Martin, because he's played obviously in the lower leagues abroad and ended up at Sparta Prague, I'll go for international. So I've looked at international clips because he's a regular. Everyone, yeah, I'm quite liking that. I'm liking what I'm seeing. So you're saying yes. Now, that saying yes sounds really easy, but all of a sudden you're actually putting your faith in your reputation and your everything on the line. So it's like, well, what I've seen, he looks quite good. So what Rafa did from then was spoke to, I'm going to say Martin Skrtel, who was playing for Sparta Prague because he'd left Liverpool. It was somebody who he'd had at Liverpool to find out what he was like as a lad. Great lad, got a real positive feedback. And then we get him on loan, comes on loan. First 2 weeks, miles away. Couldn't save a ball, too slow. Trying to do like take people on. And Rafa's saying to me after a session, how's he looking in your sessions? So technically he looks all right. But, and then I know I'm saying to him, but when he's in your sessions, he's off the pace, isn't he? And yeah. So we keep going. And as it goes on, he's starting to get a bit quicker, realizing what he needs to do, what he can do, what he can't do, how quick the pace of the whole thing is. And then he says, oh, I'm going to make him sub it, wherever the first game was. Great, not a problem. Crystal Palace away, Carl played, saved a penalty, kept a clean sheet. Great. As I say, by this time, Martin's nearly up there. The improvement, great, he's doing much better. Man United at home, I think I'm going to play Martin. And again, man, that goes back to that kind of thing. Well, that's your call. I'll prepare them both, but that's your call. Comes to Man United and crowd, loved it. You know, I'm saying to him, how did you feel? Oh, it was great. All right, okay. And then it just took off, becomes a fan's favourite. You know, had a couple of obviously issues with him. He makes a horrific mistake in the Euros against Spain where he palmed the ball in the net. So it's like he's away. How do you deal with that for pre-season? Then he got injured. So that prolonged the agony, if you want. But it's such a good student of the game. Watch his own clip. So we're coming on a Monday morning and I'm about to say, oh, what about that? What about this? And he'd say, oh, I've watched it with my dad. And this is what we're thinking. It's like, well, why do you need me then? Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, his dad's really supportive. You know, he knows what he's looking at. He obviously, he's an experienced goalie. He's an international. And the way that he took to it then, it really thrived on it, really, I'd have to say. And as I say, for me, Matt, it was as much handling it mentally. I used to say to him, I said, you've gone from playing in front of 5,000 people in some remote village in the Czech Republic. Like, you mentioned one, and I'd actually been... We trained on this ground with England, right? Because we weren't very good. We trained on this ground and he was playing for them in front of like 500 people. And then he's in front of 52,000 at Newcastle. And it's like, how are you dealing with that? But he does. Or he did. He still does. So I have nothing but respect for him, really, from where he... And I used to get a bit annoyed because people didn't realise where he had come from. So all of a sudden they're seeing on Sky Sports, Martin Dubravka, Newcastle United. Great, but he's in with a load of other people who've had a far better upbringing, goalkeeping-wise, and more experience at a level than Martin had. So for him to get up there with them, for me, was a testimony to him, not me, to him. You know, we had a couple of things where, a bit like the Pavel thing, this is what I've done. This is what I'd like to do. Yeah, right, okay, well, I'm not having you doing a forward roll, couple of rolls sideways, and then leaping into a dive and save. because I'm not quite sure what that's doing for you.
Mm.
But I will have you, me standing here playing it there, you diving and making a save, because that's what's real. So we did, at the start, we did have a, he was much more fitness, physical, YouTube goalkeeping. I was obviously where I'm coming from. So we met kind of halfway. So sometimes I'd say, oh, come on, let's have a go at one of yours, you know, touching the post, throwing yourself across the goal and all that type of stuff. And it, because I knew that it made him feel good. You know, and every Friday morning before a match, we did 50 volleys, 10 he'd sit down, 5, 10 he'd stand up, 10 he'd sit down. And we had that routine. And like something that I would never have done. I might have done 10 volleys, 10 half volleys, whatever. But I knew that it made him feel good. And then I'd say, hey, we've had a good week. And again, you're going into being, an amateur psychologist. But again, so he's ready for a Saturday. But as I say, I have nothing but respect for him because of the way that he adapted and he's learned and he's been up there, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. Okay, Simon, I think we are pretty much at the end. Before we get on to Richard Lee's question, like I said, we could talk for hours. Pane of glass, catching the vase, all those types of things that you brought in. SimonSmithGoalkeeping.com, right? It's where people, where they need to go to see all of your excellence and potentially sign up and work with you on a personal level. But you mentioned early on about Sir Bobby Robson. Now, we've spoken to a lot of goalkeepers who have worked under Sir Bobby Robson, but never anyone that's actually worked alongside him as you have. So, yeah, I guess just a quick note on the man. And when you said to him, when you said you plucked up the courage to say, look, Sir, I don't know whether you said Sir Bobby or Gaffer or whatever it was that you said, but what do you look for in a goalkeeper? What did he say back to you?
Well, it was one of those things where he was a great storyteller as well. As a lot of the top people I've found seem to be really good storytellers. So he wrote back and he compared to other goalies he's had. So he would say, like, Paul Cooper, brave as a lion. Laurie Civil, sticky fingers, strong wrists. Peter Shilton, you know, like the consummate professional, worked hard, all the rest of it. Ray Clements, natural goalie. Do you know what I mean? So the way he wrote it, and then as you've read in some of the things he said about me or in my bits and pieces, it's like he referred to like being a general on the battlefield, but staying calm and collected and all the rest of it. So he wrote, he didn't do the old, you know, shot stopper, dealing across the dirt. He did it in a story format, which was great. Obviously, he came to the club. I was sure he was going to bring Mike Kelly, going back to that anxious wait. Didn't. And then one day, we used to train at Chesley Street, where the cricket ground is now, and we were walking across reception. And he said, oh, can I have 2 minutes chat? I said, I thought I was going to be sacked. And he took me into somebody else's office, which was like a classic. So we're in, you know, admin's office. And he said, look, son, you don't know me, and I don't know you. He says, but we're going to get on really well. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, after that, I was like, well, obviously I do know who you are. I know you don't know who me are. So that was it. And to be honest, Matt, he never spoke about it for the next 5 years. So you always knew if he spoke to you, you're doing something wrong. So the only time I ever got the chat was, you know, like if Shay, he said to me one day, he said, why does Shay Given always throw the ball to Aaron Hughes? He says, he's one-eyed Jack. He never looks the other way. I thought, I better go and speak to Shay and say, look, somebody thinks you're anything. He said, Si, he says, he's right. When I look to the left and it's Ollie Bernard, all I see is Bernard 3. It's because he's running that way, because he doesn't want it. And I thought, all right, okay, I've got it. So, you know, make sure you feed it back, but you got the answer to the question from the goalie, not because we're sitting looking this way. Yeah, he was hard to work for because he demanded the best. And he didn't, like I said, even with the old, if you don't speak, you're doing yourself no favours. So he was aware of all of that. He never missed a trick. And he was very good at leaving it. If something happened, he would leave it. But then when his moment was right, he'd go back and he'd nail it down. And he was a master at doing that. So you thought you'd got away with it. And then all of a sudden he'd say, you know, oh yeah, against Liverpool, you were marking the near post, weren't you? Like, and this has happened 2 weeks before, and Shay's like forgotten about it. We've had a game since, but you'd go back, and it's like, oh, right, okay, you did notice that kind of thing. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough. I mean, he just talked football, but he was one of the few people that I've met who, and this is, I shouldn't say this, but that he can manage and coach. I've worked with some people who are great managers, and I've worked with other people who are managers but are great coaches. The only two that I've met so far, as I say, I've had, I think, 9 managers in total, would be Sir Bobby, could coach and manage, and Rafa. They're the two ones who would stand out and who could do both. As I say, I've worked with some excellent managers, some excellent coaches, you know, not just at Newcastle, I'm talking other places. And it'd be, I always thought that would be interesting. I always had that thought of like looking and seeing, but you can never get close enough inside to see who's doing what. But yeah, he had that much experience. He would like be telling you about like Victor Bahia. When I had Victor at Santo, and then I had, you know, there were just names that like were world famous names, but you'd work with them, you know. But you had to give an opinion. You couldn't sit quietly. But if you did give an opinion and it was wrong, so we said we were having a meeting. Alan Shearer was injured, and we were struggling to find somebody to play up front. And John and Wendy were there, and they weren't saying anything. So it was like going quiet. So we said, "Come on, lads, who do you think?" So I said, I think you should give Lauren Ribeiro, who was a winger, give her a go up front as a number 9. And he just turned to me, he looked at me and went, "Simon, just stick to the goal." And it was like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You and the two are in fits of laughter. It's like, yeah, all right, I'll just stick to the goalkeeper.
Which is what we're best at, I think. And that's why we should just stick to goalkeeping, yes. Simon, some great names, some great stories. Thank you so much for giving up your time. We finish every podcast with one final question that is asked by Mr. Richard Lee. So over to you, Richard.
Simon, first of all, thank you for what has been a fantastic pod and putting up with Mr. Beadle for the last hour or so. But it is the most important time of the show, and it is the most important question of the show. Simon Smith, what has goalkeeping given you?
Goalkeeping has given me a unbelievable career in football, way beyond, well, I'll justify that. As a player, averagely successful in the standard, always wanted to play in the best standard I could, which was non-league football. So I kind of achieved that. Then going into the coaching side of it gave me a career that I would never have had as a player. So, well, two things. Representing Newcastle in the Champions League, very, very special. The city, all the rest of it. And also in the FA work of representing my country abroad. I was never a one to think like that until I've stood up in some way off country somewhere and represented your country as a coach. And I've always said that I would, it's the best hobby that I've ever had. I never looked at it as, never look at it as work. It's just, it is a hobby that I get paid for. And you know, when I speak to the kids, it's like they say, "Well, Dad, what am I going to try and find a hobby that you get paid for? That's the best you can ever get."
Simon Smith, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.